The following podcast contains mature content and is meant only for adults. The Fabcast is a collaboration between erotic authors and performers. All opinions expressed are solely those of the hosts of this podcast.
I thought Eli was doing the intro.
This is the cold open. We always have a cold open before the actual intro.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, Eli, what makes men attracted to you?
I think it's my penis.
Like, oh my God, for the Fabcast. I think it's my voice that apparently sounds like a hive of bees.
Oh, yeah, that hive does, of bees sound. Oh, my God.
Are you masturbating too right now, Eli?
Give me some of that honey, baby.
Oh, what about you, yeah. Tom?
I am tired.
Tom already coomed.
I did coom.
Hi, I'm Eli, and I'm here with Tom and Mary.
Woot!
Hi. Woot! Woot!
We are erotic ASMR and erotic audio content creators, and we are here to talk about everything new and old happening about sex, erotica, and porn. We are the Fabcast.
Was there anything epic about your non-porn stuff this week?
I have been working on going back to my YouTube channel, and I have just finished three self-written scripts of audio that I'm starting to record and edit that I'm going to be posting here, because I want to start getting stuff out before Halloween, since this is spooky season.
Wait, so are you reading like creepies and no sleeps and stuff? Yes. Or are you doing like original stuff?
Both.
So I understand when people say like, I posted it and I would like to be credited if you use it. That's fine. And I understand when people say, I would like you to explicitly ask my permission and credit me. But the people that are like, I want to be paid for it, I don't think they should be posting it on a public forum if they want to be paid for it.
I think it comes down to the fact that a lot of those YouTube channels are run by people with Patreons and people exactly. who have monetized their content.
Yeah.
So they are getting paid.
I see.
They're not just people making I understand. Content. They're people making money off of other people's content.
Gotcha. Who has a mythology?
Mary has a mythology.
Do I have a Mary, mythology?
What was your mythology for this week?
The massive project called Once, Twice, Three Times a Love Story is edited now. So that's something.
What is that for people who don't know what that is?
It's like a 190-page radio play.
It's a fucking Hallmark movie.
Yeah, it's based on all those holiday movies. All those terrible, terrible holiday movies. Yes. So we've got all the tropes in there. And it's an actual piece. There is no silent listener. It's fully cast. And it's basically you got three couples, 3 days, and they all got to fall in love, but you've got to have that dramatic tension, and each of them has it in a different way. And I tried to make I think there's 9 sex scenes, and I tried to make each of them very to the couple and to what their issue is. Yeah, so it's fun. It's interesting. Eli still hasn't read it, which breaks my heart because he's my expert.
Do you know how
content.
Hard it is to get Eli to do anything? And then you send him like 150 page manuscript. He has like Killing Floor to play and stuff. Okay.
Do you know how long it's been since I played Killing Floor, Tom? The last time I played Killing Floor was with you.
And I want to play again.
Yeah, so Tom, what's a Tom tale?
Tom's tales.
You put out a new episode of Strings. That's actually
When I was primarily only creating erotica, one of the stories that I created was called Memory Games, which was kind of like a noirish like tale of like mind games and seduction. And people really liked it, and so I made a sequel, and people liked the sequel, so they wanted more. And eventually, all of my erotica started putting those stories in the same world as Memory Games. I came out with a new Strings episode, and Strings is basically Memory Games that's being released on YouTube. And so I'm really excited because I get to tell these stories that I have created a timeline for. And some of my fans do not believe that I have this plotted out, but you guys have seen my timeline. So like, well, you saw my original timeline. Do you guys remember that when I sent you that document?
My eyes immediately rolled back into my head.
Why? Why would they do that?
Because I there was so much going on. I'm not good at staying with stuff that's complicated. It's too smart for me.
What's exciting about this new episode of Strings, and you can find me on YouTube at Tom Banter Audio, all one word. That's my channel name. And the Strings episode is called Revelations. And what's cool about it is it's three scenes. One of them's a solo scene, but then the other two scenes I've actually cast. So actually, The Huntsman 1880 and Eli, our very own Eli, are both characters in this. And I don't think Miri's heard it yet, but I'm excited about it because it's the closest thing that I've had to a full cast. It's a total fucking sausage fest, but it's the first thing that I've had to like a full cast. So I'm really excited about that. Did it feel different having...
Yes. Well, first of all, it is a really good continuation. 'Cause when I listened to Summer Love Under the Willow, I was like, oh, this is really sweet and tender and nice. And then it ends and you're like, what? Okay. And then this is just like a really nice picking up point after that. It's the first point where you felt like things are really coming together. Because Memory Games was one thing. Memory Games Part 2, you're like, okay, this is still more, you know, sort of noir mystery shit. And then all of a sudden Summer Willow, and it's like, this is related, how? And then it ends. And the ending, which is, if you haven't listened to it, you should. It's pretty good. This is just like that perfect point where you're starting to link the pieces of the chain. And it was very fun to be in it.
I don't know how to cast. Unless you're picking and choosing people who you want to cast, our only other alternative is to hold auditions. And the community is an incredibly inclusive place. And I feel like holding auditions is inherently exclusive. As somebody who's been a casting director for films, I am extremely quick to say yes, yes, no, 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 yes, no, 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 no. And there's no hard feelings. However, I feel like there might be hurt feelings in an audition process. What are you guys' thoughts on an audition process in terms of GWA?
I mean, there are plenty of projects that already kind of do that. I don't think that it's a bad idea at all. I think that it's definitely something you would have to...
I think a call to action might be better. Like, hey, I'm casting. Send me your stuff. If you fit a role, I'll contact you. Like, maybe exactly. Type of thing.
Exactly.
We have a quiz that Eli picked. So blame him if you don't like it.
What is the name of this quiz?
This quiz is called What Makes Men Attracted to You?
Can we guess what makes men attracted to you? This is by PlayBuzz, which I've never heard before.
Can we talk about the fact that the stock image looks in the same style as the stock images Tom uses on YouTube?
It's because they are. They literally stole them from Tom after them from somebody else.
Please stroke my ego and explain to the audience why you like my stock images.
They
look like they cost money. That's why.
Yeah, they look like you hired somebody to take the pictures.
This is actually a really hot picture of like an attractive couple.
Yeah, click for the first question because like the next stock image is like old style stock image.
Yep.
The fuck it totally is.
Wow, it's a beach.
So we have
it's
to
like
pick
a,
our
it's
ideal
like a
vacation.
It's like a fucking Corona
commercial. Yeah.
Commercial.
This is one of those like green screen beaches where it doesn't exist anywhere on the planet. This is just a picture somebody made.
There's sand on a studio floor, and then they superimpose the ocean.
Exactly.
Choose your ideal vacation: hiking in the mountains, lounging on the beach, exploring an exotic locale, or partying in Vegas. I've been in Vegas so many times. It's not Vegas for me. It is not. I like Vegas, but that's not my ideal vacation at all.
Soundbite. So how are we defining exotic locale?
Somewhere you don't know. Somewhere with a culture that is not familiar to your own.
Okay, I'm mostly, because I tend to find exotic locale tends to be like warm, and I don't like warm.
Like tropics?
Yeah, jungle. Like I don't know. I say no to that.
I actually do like warm. Like one of my favorite places is Curacao, and it's in the Caribbean, but everything is like Dutch architecture, and you can get like fries with mayonnaise on them, and you
Tom
can find
is so bougie.
You can
he
find
has mayonnaise on his fries.
That's how they eat around fucking Europe, and like
that's
arepas.
So bougie.
There's like they have the best arepas in Curacao.
Okay,
yeah,
well if we're gonna include colder climates, then I will pick exploring an exotic locale.
I'm doing that too.
Where would you go, Miri?
I actually really want to go to New Zealand and Greenland, but I would go to New Zealand in their cool season, not their hot season, because fuck that shit. It's just like how I'm probably the only person who, when I went to Vegas, I purposefully went in fall, because I was like, that's a desert, and I don't like heat.
You're right.
So...
is anyone else mesmerized by the picture on the sidebar for "Can we guess your IQ based on how dirty your mind is?"
It is pretty great.
Like it's very Benny Hill.
I don't have this picture, so.
Oh, here, let me share it with you. Hold on. There you go. That's in our sidebar.
What the hell is that?
That is boobies.
What
except
is
not
that?
Boobies. Those are two men looking at someone's boobies, but they look like boobies. In a word, describe your dancing style. Popping, shy, goofy, non-existent, or sensual. I'm gonna say shy.
Goofy, because the best kind of dancing is funny dancing.
I like how this quiz moves us along as soon as we click.
Right.
What about you, Eli?
Sensual.
Can we pick for each other this next question?
On a scale of 1 to 10 in general, how confident are you?
Miri is above a 7.
Miri is above a 7.
How am I above a 7?
You're not fucking afraid of anything.
I totally am.
Oh my god. You've got six cocks coming out of you.
I got that multiple cock energy.
You guys like dick girl? You're gonna like Miri.
All the dicks.
Definitely. Don't you think, Eli? She's above 7.
I'd say Mira's above 7. She's a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys. So what's Eli then?
A 6 or a 7 sometimes, and then above a 7 sometimes.
I'd say he's when he's recording period juice, he's above a 7.
Damn right.
So when he's performing, I know
he's
Eli though. I'm gonna say a 6 or a 7, but I also know that he's human, and Miri's
not
human, so she gets above a 7. No, you're not. You're really not. So Eli gets a 6 or a 7 from me. What do you think, Miri?
I'm gonna say based on period juice, he gets an 11.
Okay, but based on being a real person.
He admitted to me he has to, like, say things to himself to make sure the ego doesn't take over. So that tells me he's pretending he's a 6 or a 7, but he's really above a 7.
Ah, shit, you got on.
Yeah, cannot deny my logic there, bitch. Now take one of my six cocks. Eli, what do you think Tom is on this scale?
Oh, my God.
I think that Tom is a...
3 or below.
I think Tom is a 4. Tom is very confident about his ability to create, but he is not confident that he is the one who should be doing it.
Wow, Mary. Things just got existential up in here. So it's a 4 or 5 for Tom, a 6 or 7 for Eli, and apparently Muri is not human and has 6 cocks, so she's above a 7. There we go. Now everybody click on that.
A graduated scale.
With all that testosterone in you there.
Yeah, and see, this is the real reason why, like, Eli is my bitch, is because of all my testosterone. And Tom lets me get away with it because of my multiple dick energy.
It's just because I have no confidence to stand up to you.
And my 6 cocks.
Yeah, it's too much. If
you
see somebody's
6 cocks coming at you, you get the fuck out of the way.
It's too much. Yeah, if Paul Rudd, like, came up to me, sure. But, like, 6 cock Miri, no.
6 cock Miri. That sounds like a horrible TV show.
Hey, think about the last guy who came on to you. Who was he? A guy on the street, a guy at a bar or club, a guy at work, a guy I've known for a long time, or someone else?
Guy at a bar.
I never know when someone's coming on to me. Like, I literally never know.
I had a guy flirting with me. He was flirting with me on the bus. Like, I would get on the bus every day to get to the subway, and then at the subway, I would part ways with them.
And you never realized he was flirting with you.
He was flirting with me. He was flirting with me until he asked me out. And then I was like, oh, no. No. That's not what I thought we were doing here. I just thought he was friendly. And all my friends were like, you're so fucking stupid. But he was nice. It was on the bus, though. And then he asked me out on the subway platform. So, like, is that on the street or is that someone else?
I'd say that counts as a guy on the street.
Yeah, okay, that counts.
So I was at the bar with my brother. We were getting drinks. My brother went to the bathroom. So I'm sitting at the bar by myself, and this guy, I could, like, pretty much feel him behind me. But he was like kind of circling.
That big dick energy.
He's circling you.
He was not quite circling because he didn't see me from the front. He just saw me from behind. And
like
so
a villain from Lion King.
He came over and sat down next to me at the bar, and then he looked over and he was like, oh, you're a guy.
Oh!
Oh! So he didn't come on.
He
didn't come on to you because he wanted your penis. He came on to you because he thought you had a vagina.
Exactly.
The only time I really remember someone coming on to me was like some kid when I too was a kid in high school, turned to me and said that I had a lovely voice. It sounds like bees. So, like, what do I do with that?
Casanova.
Ask him what his thing with bees is.
I know, right?
I mean, like, that would be my next question.
Oh, no, wait, no. I did have, a random guy ask me out on the street, but I was, like, in super Victorian goth mode, so it was very strange. So, yeah, guy on the street. Choose a situation where you tend to get the most attention from guys. Work or after-work drinks. The beach. A sophisticated cocktail party, which is apparently different from the bar. A night out dancing at the club. Or hanging out with friends.
I have no attention from guys at work. I have no attention from guys outside of work.
At the beach?
I literally get all of my attention from guys every weekend when I hang out with my friends. That's it. Otherwise, all of my life is just hanging around women.
Can we talk about the stock image here for a second?
Yeah, what is that? She's getting attention and she does not want it.
And look at that bouquet. Look at that depressing bouquet.
The way the guy's dressed, it looks like he's a waiter that's harassing her while she's at the table with a date.
That's what it looks like. And then why are the flowers there?
Good question. I like the idea that he probably just picked them up off a nearby table where they normally would sit. And I was like, hey, I got these for you, baby.
That's what they look like.
Work or after work drinks. I've never gotten attention from a guy like that. The beach. Who, like, does this actually happen?
I think it depends on the beach.
Oh, okay, true.
So I'm just gonna assume that because of my 6 dick energy, like, if we're talking about attention from male friends, sure, hanging out with
you're
friends.
You're like a Pokemon.
But, if it's, like, sexual attention from dudes, I don't know what it is. Like, I will notice a dude on occasion. staring at me, but that's it. It's not like they come up to me. It's not like they try to have a conversation. So I'm assuming it's my six dicks or a turn off or something.
I don't think it's a turn off. It's just intimidating, you know? It's a lot to take in, literally.
I think I finally have a sequel for Period Juice. It's going to be about the six dick girl.
The last time I got that kind of attention actually was at a cocktail party. It was at the Newberry Library. They were holding an event.
I love how, like, it's not just any cocktail party. It's got to be, like, it's a library one. They have an event. It was a special invite. You're so bougie and fancy.
You wouldn't want to see an original Oscar Wilde with Beardsley illustrations.
I want to be there. Eli wants to be there.
I wanted to run away with it.
You don't want us there. That's what I'm saying. Because I would be like, oh my God, look at this. Like, we wouldn't be swanky enough with our excitement. We'd just be like jumping up and down and going,
I would just be in the corner with my dry martini going, I don't know those people. Like, who the fuck invited them? Like,
yeah, but then we'd corner you in the corner.
Oh. We totally would.
And then everybody would know that you brought these heathens with you.
And then, fine, then I would just have to commit and, like, make out with both of you. And then...
That is a way to do it.
Yeah, that is a way to do it. Are we at the next question?
Yep.
Do you like
to
bear it all? Keep going,
Eli.
So
are we talking about... are we talking about, like,
feelings?
Physically? Or are we talking about bearing, your feelings and your thoughts?
I'm going to say feelings.
I thought it was, like, do you like to walk around naked? That's what I thought it was.
It's a different answer depending on which we're going with.
Can we answer for each other again?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Tom's Eli's a yes. Tom's a yes.
Eli's no.
Miri is sometimes.
What kind of men tend to approach you? I mean, he's kind of like smoky.
This is like a pro model right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like crossing his arms hella pro. What kind of men?
Hot guys are their own category. No other personality other than being hot.
Tech bros, hipsters, hot guys, weird guys, smart guys, or shy guys. I like how it's all guys except for hipsters and the bros. They're not tech guys. They're tech bros.
Apparently.
I feel like weird guys is mean to say because
when I hear weird guys, I'm thinking about like, because I when I was I commuted a lot on the subway. When you're in a group of like mid-teenage girls, you get like these guys who are clearly old enough to be your grandfather, like leering at you. I had one guy who literally was looking me up and down very obviously as I was reading a book. Like, it was just creepy. So when I hear weird guys, I think of like, you know what you're doing is massively inappropriate, but you're gonna do it anyway. Like, that's how I view that.
It's shy guys for me, which is weird. That's weird to say say out loud, but yes, it's always shy guys that actually talk to me.
I don't know who talks to me.
I get a lot of tech bros. Once people find out that I built several computers and play a lot of video games, work on a computer all day, a lot of people come to me with questions and are like, hey, you want to hang out? Hey, you want to talk about blah, blah, blah? Hey, what should I do about it? I'm like, damn, I don't fucking know. I just figured it out on my own.
This next question is problematic for me.
I still haven't answered. I don't know who approaches me.
No, go ahead and answer. I'm just saying.
No, I literally don't know.
Then pick weird guys.
Oh, thanks.
You just fucking told me they were weird.
We are.
You're not weird. Are.
What?
We do massively inappropriate things on the regular without any shame.
Okay, do you get a lot of second dates? What?
Eli.
What the hell did you just say, Eli?
I said six dick. Miri.
Oh my God, name of my autobiography and sex tape.
How I got my six dicks. Do you get a lot of second dates? I don't like the options. I'm going to pull a Miri here. Yes, no, yes, but I don't get a lot of first dates, and yes, but I don't get a lot of third dates. I don't like how this is phrased as like receiving, like being asked, because I do go on a lot of first dates. I don't I either decline a second date or I don't offer a second date.
Some of us don't like, you know, go out and just hang out on the street and get like 50 guys coming at us like Tom does. So some of us have to like actually.
Well, I'm not talking about just guys.
Okay. Well,
I think a lot of people who go out on dates don't like who they're out with. That's just how dating is. Otherwise, we would fucking find our perfect person every fucking time.
If I'm not feeling it, I will not ask for a second date. But if they ask me, I'll probably say yes, because to me, it's, well, I need to confirm my first impression, if that makes sense.
This is where my confidence is above a 7. My first impression is always right.
I feel like Eli's about to say he's going to take whatever he can get.
Eli, what are you going to say?
I don't go on a lot of dates, but I get offered a lot of them.
Say yes, then. Miri?
Yes?
It was a yes for you?
No.
It was a no for you?
I don't know.
It's weird, right? Like, the options are weird. I had to get really binary with my thought processes.
Okay, there. Do you find that you meet more dates online or in real life? Why can't you just write in real life?
I'm gonna say it depends on my mood.
I'm online because I don't go places really anymore. And by anymore, I don't mean just because of COVID. I mean like in the last couple of years.
Or Murray.
Murray.
I'm gonna say in real life because, yeah, online is a weird fucking place. I need to know you to figure out if I'm attracted to you or not.
This picture.
You know what? That is totally my party personality right there. That is my party personality.
You're the wild one?
No, I'm like, I don't want people to touch me, so I get in the spacesuit, but I love to dance, so of course I'm going to be the center of attention. Does that make sense?
So you're the wild one?
Yes.
See, Eli understands me, Tom. Eli gets it.
I completely understand you. When I went to senior prom, was when Call Me Maybe came out. Ew. And myself and 8 other guys went to the center of the dance floor and just like flipped out, danced, and sang the song as loud as we could.
That's amazing.
It was amazing.
Is it possible to be the wild one and the sober one? Because that's me.
Pick one. Fine. I don't think sober is your defining characteristic.
But I am sober.
I know, but I think that you're actively wild. You're not like actively sober. You just don't drink.
Okay, I see like what you mean.
That's not your zodiac.
Eli, who are you?
I'm the flirt, 100%.
Are men shy around you?
Why does that guy look like he's planning to kill the people behind him?
He's shy. Yes, not at all. It depends on the situation. It depends on the guy. I feel like it depends on the guy is the only really honest way to say this.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Honest way to answer this, yeah.
For me, men aren't shy around me. They are really forward and I don't like it. But women are really shy around me.
I'm shy around you.
Right.
You don't think I'm shy around you?
No, you are not, Tom.
Did you get more dates in high school than you do now?
By dates, do they mean dates with dates?
Yeah, because like dates are awesome, especially the ones from Dubai. Have you ever had dates from Dubai? I realize how fucking bougie I sound.
You totally do. I like how one of the answers is I'm in high school.
Yeah. At least it's honest.
Do you get more dates in high school? You know, yes.
I didn't date in high school. Like, no one actually asked me out. So automatically I get more dates now.
I only dated one girl in high school. We dated from early sophomore year through the end of senior year and into the beginning of college.
So you get more now then?
Yes.
Do men pay attention to you when you talk?
Yes. Or talk? No. Yes, especially on dates, and yes, especially at work. What is up with the second option?
I think it's for like it's people saying, who are shy.
Yeah.
Oh, like they don't talk. Gotcha. Yes. Do men pay attention to you when you talk? Yes. Except Eli. See, love him, but he don't listen to me.
I
love him, but you gotta hate him.
Aww. Eli was hoping you'd say that.
Men pay a lot of attention to me, and they really fucking shouldn't.
Eli, it's beginning to sound like you have a cult of men following you around.
I do. People listen to what I say, and it's really bad. Like, at work, people are like, why aren't you the supervisor? I don't know. It's because I'm a fucking idiot.
But okay. So Eli has everybody listening to him, because he has a cult. everyone just listens to Tom.
I have a cult.
Sorry, Eli. Say what you were going to say.
I said, Tom has the cult. I'm just part of it.
I don't have a cult.
I mean, you don't see it because you're too busy, but there is an entire fucking cult in your Discord server.
Do men look into your eyes a lot? And the options are my eyes? No. This is similar to talk? No. No. Like, what does this mean? Like, you don't have eyes? When we're talking,
could be blind.
If they're blind, I'm definitely looking in their eyes.
That is not what that option means. I'm just going to say right now. When we're talking, yes, I get more eye contact than I get conversation, and I don't get a lot of eye contact.
I'm the kind of person who purposefully looks in other people's eyes while I'm talking to them.
So I'm going to say yes. That's why ladies are shy around you.
I'm going to say yes because I force it on them.
Yeah, but which yes? When we're talking?
Yes when we're talking. But people do look in my eyes randomly, yeah.
Yes when we're talking, but it's, I'm one of those people where I have to force myself to hold eye contact, so I might not always notice that somebody's trying to maintain eye contact, because I'll be like, no.
When you go out with your hot friends.
Not your
you
ugly get... friends, your hot friends.
Yeah, that's your
such
hot
a weird
friends.
Specifier.
Well, because this is a thing. Like, people
there
bring
are different nights for when you bring out the hot friends and when you bring out the good friends.
Eli, you have an insane number of friends. Like, I feel like a loner over here because I don't have the luxury of being like, oh, I have my bro friends. I have my fugly friends. I have my hot friends. I have my normal friend. Like, I can't go to the closet of friends and pull out different groups like you do.
My friends literally are in a closet in my brain. They're all made up, Miri. They're all made up.
Okay, fine. So you go out with your hot friends. What do you do when you get approached?
I get approached early and often. I get approached a lot.
I never get approached because apparently my six dicks are too intimidating.
I mean, they are.
Ah, I got better attracted to your personality.
Me too.
What did Tom get?
Same thing. What the fuck?
What drives guys wild about you is your scintillating and titillating personality. You're fun, flirty, and super sweet. You always make the men who approach you feel comfortable. You might not be the one who gets approached...
by.
Who gets approached by all the... That actually broke my brain. Not
I know it did. Pride. That's what I know it did.
You might not be the only one who gets approached by all the dudes, but once they do, they have a hard time walking away. Did we get it right? Let us know in the comments and share this test with everyone you know.
So again, we all answered differently and we got the same result.
Yeah, it's probably one of those kinds of quizzes.
When you say Asimov's call to the community.
It was a different perspective I found from what I've normally heard about minors being in the community. What Asimov brought up was how... I think it was at 17 minutes and 52 seconds.
Yeah,
because I found it. There was a soundbite that said, like, if something has happened or might happen, such a specifically predatory behavior, we have seen that already happen. And we're not doing anything about it. So it's about people who, like, they know the minors are coming in, but they're actively preying on them in the community. They're actively going after the people who are 2 days after 18. And that is what's actually going to get us in trouble, is if we're allowing that to happen, if we're not calling it out when we see it, that is what's going to be the actual problem. It is known that there are people in the community who are offering things out of the goodness of their heart, but they're actually hoping to get something, namely sexual, out of it. And then also, speaking from personal experience as somebody who's been in niche communities as a young adult, I can tell you absolutely, I've seen that type of stuff happening in person and didn't know how to process it when I was seeing it. And then also, I have no doubt it's going on in online communities, and ours is no different. Yeah. I do believe it is going on.
How do we stop predators if we don't know where to look? Like, what, where is it happening? Is it happening in DMs? Is it happening in, like, out in the open, in the forums? Or,
well, I think it's, I think an exemplary example is allowing not safe for work selfies in Discords. Like, I, it's also in doing calls and saying, yeah, you can sext me in the DMs.
But that's, but Discord isn't GWA. That's private.
Like, I know, how, but what I, what I'm trying to say is it's, mm-hmm. it's about a, how it is a two-way street, and we all have to have a certain amount of responsibility for how we individually are acting and interacting online with fans that we really can't see.
All I know what to do is to take personal accountability for my own community. So the first step in that I take, although I know that minors can still get on a Patreon, is to make it so that it's a Patreon only Discord. And on top of that, there is no not safe for work selfie channel. And I also don't accept friend requests from anybody in the Discord server. And I also don't DM anybody from the Discord server. There are people in communities like TikTok who are sharing content that, it, that does not belong to them. And a huge problem with how minors are accessing our content, especially gated content like behind Patreon, is people are taking that content and they're publishing it to public spaces. And not only is that a violation of copyright laws, but it's just unethical and it's wrong. Minors are just going to do whatever the fuck they want to do. That it, that's, it's been that way since the beginning of time. I don't blame them. They don't know what they're doing is right or wrong. They're stupid minors. It's the adults that are stealing, that are causing the problem, and that are exposing them to it, that need to be stopped.
So I've been seeing a lot of talk about safety and privacy online, and there is some solid advice that they give you in school, which is don't be talking to people that you don't know. If somebody randomly messages you like a sexy pic,
yeah,
you don't know who they are. You don't even know if that's them in the picture.
Right.
So it's probably better not to engage.
It does come up, it does mostly, there aren't any real borders when it comes to the way GWA has, the way GWA exists. It doesn't have any real defenses against it. It entirely comes down to what the people who are creating content are doing, to allow it to happen. It really comes down to, like Mary was saying, except like people, it's one thing to do it with the knowledge that you could be sexting with a minor and then still go through with it without taking any sort of precautions whatsoever, in which case it's entirely on you. You're the one that's allowing it to happen. Like Tom was saying, stupid kids are going to be stupid kids, and they're going to try and get into all kinds of stuff. And all you can do is protect yourself from your end, in that situation. And in the same way, also protect them from you. Their GWA and Reddit in and of itself have no security against it. There's nothing that stops. There's no age gates anywhere. So it really does have to come from internal, all of the defenses.
Eli's epic, Miri's mythology, and Tom's tales have made them very busy people. And so we did not do our Masterpiece Theaters. And so, oops. And yeah, so we probably, that probably will not be a regular segment moving forward, just because the podcast is kind of taking different shape every week now. And we ourselves are, October's just been a very busy month. And I think November is also going to be very, it's just, it's approaching year end and there's a lot of things happening. And I don't think that Masterpiece Theater will always be a thing, but it certainly won't go away. So this week there is no Masterpiece Theater. We were supposed to do
a film noir fishing comedy starring a garden hoe and the act of the Golden Arch.
Yeah, we didn't do
that. I'm still going to offer. I can improvise like a setup for you guys if you want to improvise the audio.
Okay.
Wait, we're doing this for serious?
Sure, go ahead.
I don't know what the Golden Arch is, though.
Oh, here.
Don't remember.
I'll show you. That's the Golden Arch.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of work.
Okay.
Eli, I think you're just lazy.
You have no fucking idea. I am such a lazy pile of garbage.
Can we get atmosphere music?
So, hold on, let me find some. Film noir and crime jazz.
Ooh.
Specifically crime jazz. Jazz you commit crimes to?
Oh, okay, here we go.
Enter a fishing bait tackle shop with window shades as the light streaks in dramatically. Tom is standing at the counter, polishing the tackle. Then soon we hear a ding ding as a garden hoe saunters in with legs as high as his legs. His name is Eli. He needs some tackle.
Well, hello there, Mr. Gardenhoe. How can I help you?
Sir, I've been a busy man lately, and I just need something to take the edge off, you know? I feel like a nice afternoon out on the water really take the edge off.
Well, seeing as you don't have arms, not really sure how you gonna fish.
Well, you see, sir, it's like I was made to fish. I got this whole long-ass body I can toss right into the water there. All I need all I need some tackle to go at the end.
Well, son, I really don't know about fishing, but I got your tackle right here.
Oh, my.
Yeah, why don't you sit up right here on my lap right here.
Oh, hold on. I just got to get this garden hose out of the way. There we go.
I know you don't got legs either, but pretend that they're straddling my hips here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Where'd you get this hole from, ho?
Ho-ho. You know I like it when you talk dirty.
Oh.
I don't got arms, good. So you're going to have to do all the work here, baby.
All right. Let me thrust in and thrust in. Oh, yes, ho. Yeah. Oh, you my ho, ho. Oh, ho, ho.
Oh. Fade out, end scene.
Okay.
I'm your ho, ho. What the fuck?
It was in the moment.
In the moment. I especially loved Eli including you're gonna have to do all the work.
I ain't got no arms, bitch.
Miri.
What did I do?
And me.
Oh, this is gonna suck.
Why?
Because I'm really bad at improvising.
What genre?
Fantasy.
You are a fruit seller who can be restless, and I am an elven prince who thrives on drama. It's a low fantasy. What is low fantasy? It's low fantasy
is instead of like dragons and magic and shit, it's like more just tame medieval, but not necessarily historically accurate.
It's a low fantasy story about good versus evil and kicks off amid the dunes with the death of someone important. Okay. I wonder if there's a low fantasy playlist.
A low fantasy playlist.
Like, no joke, this is a song on a playlist of mine, but this is not a song for this. It's
okay.
Creepy and weird.
So we're in the dunes.
Wait.
My cabbages!
Your cabbages? What has happened to your cabbages? Hello, fruit seller.
For the 20th time this week, my cabbages are strewn all over the dunes. What will I do? How will I feed myself?
May I ask you why you are growing cabbages on the dunes?
Because I am a fruit seller. Oh God, I'm not even a good fruit seller. Cabbages are a vegetable. Oh no.
Are, you daft fruit seller. Do you even have any fruit?
Who am I? What am I? Do I exist?
Oh, you are even more dramatic than I.
Oh, shoot, you're a royal person, aren't you? I should bow.
Yes, bow.
Would you like some fruit?
You don't have any fruit? All you have are cabbages.
Well, maybe if you gathered up the cabbages, I could find you a peach.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's a fruit?
Well, yes, peaches are fruits.
It's a really low-grade quest?
Fruit seller, I would like your peach.
Okay, but I'm not human, so it's in my back.
Oh, then you're disgusting. I am going back to my palace. Goodbye.
No!
I don't want your back, peach.
Fantasy racism, I love it.
For the next one.
I really want Eli as a talking instrument character to come back.
It's Mary. Eli is a federal investigator who is always in the wrong place at the right time.
Ooh. The right time, okay.
And Mary is a bodyguard who grows carnivorous plants.
That is such a me thing.
It's a hard-broiled PI story about regret, and it kicks off at a beach house with someone falling suddenly ill. We open at a beach house. Someone has fallen ill. A federal investigator arrives just at the right time.
Excuse me, sir. I'm gonna need your help here, in case you haven't noticed. This giant Venus flytrap, it's got my legs. Okay, it's got my legs. I found a key in there. A key that leads upstairs.
Shelly.
But it was
Shelly
in its mouth.
Down. Shelly down! Shelly down! Shelly down! Down! Down!
She named it Shelly.
You should be fine.
Oh my God, thank you.
You're welcome.
So I found this key. I don't know how I found it. It was in that thing's mouth. But I think I know exactly where this goes.
Where?
That's a great question.
I love how the music dropped right there.
Let's go upstairs. I have a feeling, old key, it's probably an attic of some sort, right?
Oh, shit, yeah. Exactly. So, like, this is my grandmother's place, but yeah, she totally has, like, an attic crawl space thingy.
Ooh, I like attic crawl space thingies. There's usually mysteries there. And I love happening upon mysteries. Let's go!
All right, up the stairs we go. Insert really expensive sound effects here.
Oh my God. Wait. What's going on in there? I hear... Is that someone throwing up?
Oh no, that's surely my other plant.
Right. Let's try this key out here. And it's the right door. Was not expecting that. Okay.
How convenient for the plot.
How convenient. Huh. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't just happen upon every single case lead that I've ever come upon. That's not right. Hello?
Okay. So maybe you should go up and poke your head around. I will stay down here and hold the ladder.
That's a great idea. Hello?
And shut the door!
And the federal investigator was never heard from again. And Shelley kept puking.
I want to go home. Let me out.
See, that's the voice, guys. That's the voice I'm talking about.
You know, this episode of Miri and Eli in the Morning with Tom, we did spend a lot of time talking about some interesting topics, and then having a little bit of fun both at the beginning and the end there. But we would like to hear more from you guys about what you you're kind of looking for from our podcast here as we work on developing it into a more fully developed creative piece, you know, this little experience that we get to have here together. We'd like for you guys to have some input as well. So feel free to post your comments below. For those of you on listening just on Spotify, feel free to give us an email to wearethefabcast@gmail.com. We'll be keeping an eye on that as well, so we can get you guys included on this creative process here, this little experience that we're making together.
Miri indicated to me that we maybe might be able to do something with cam people.
I did do that.
You didn't say that your friends would come, but
yes.
And I think it would be interesting if they came on, if they wanted to be anonymous about it, just to talk about their experience.
Why is it always turns into me harassing my friends to be guests on this podcast?
Because we have no friends.
Fine. I will ask around. Just because I like you too.
If anyone out there listening does like camming professionally, right? Would it be professional?
It depends. Do you mean professional as in making part living, or professional as in making full living?
At least making part living. Like, if you have like an OnlyFans or something, reach out to us. I really want to know. I'd really like to talk to you. Maybe we can get you on here. I want to learn about that experience a little more, because that is completely foreign to me. I've never been on that website. I know it exists, but I don't know. Like, what is it, like Patreon, but like even pervier? Or like, what is that? What that is?
Patreon, but even pervier. That should be their slogan.
we're like Patreon, but pervier.
Because that implies Patreon is like a level, is the baseline for perv, and then everything else is just above that baseline.
It's the baseline. Yeah, I don't even know where GWA like sits on that totem pole.
It's a graph with many colors, Tom. I made a graph of this.
Is it a pivot table?
Yeah, it is. It is, actually.
Good.
And then now Eli's about to get flashbacks of Excel, and I'm going to want to complain about PowerPoint. So anyway, we covered some like heavy topics. Please remember, no offense is ever meant. These are our opinions, not the opinions of any groups that we're part of. And we're also open to like adjusting and adapting our opinions from more, or changing our opinions, actually, that's the right word to use, from more information and stuff like that. And stuff like that. I'm sorry, my brain's not working for vocab. Please don't judge me, people. If you want me to get a thesaurus, recommend me a good one. And I'll see what I can do with it, but no promises. But yeah, we've got like, everybody's got projects coming up. Everybody's got like shit they're doing, and keep the conspiracy alive on strings in the banterverse, because that's always
fun. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We love you all, and we look forward to hearing from you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to